chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Romans 10, 1 through 4. Brothers, I pray to God that the Jewish people will be saved. That is my heart's desire. I tell you the truth. They have much enthusiasm for God, but they don't understand. They ignored God's righteousness and tried to establish their own type of righteousness. They did not put themselves under God's kind of righteousness. Christ is the purpose of the law. Everyone who believes in Christ will be made right with God.
Appreciate that, Thomas, for that scripture reading. I want us to be turning in our Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to have a lesson there from verses 23 down to verse 29 tonight. And I'm certainly glad that I'm able to be back here tonight. I got a small nap in earlier this afternoon, not a great one, but I got some sleep to kind of catch up on. So that was great. I guess Kelsey said I didn't cough the whole time I was sleeping, but as soon as I stood up and started walking around, I just started gagging away. So that's just what I've been messing with the last couple of days. But nonetheless, it's great to be here. I hope I'm an encouragement to you, and I know it's an encouragement to me. And tonight we're going to talk about the salvation in Christ. And it's obviously a wonderful theme, and it's throughout the entire Bible, but I like the unique way that Paul discusses it here in light of Galatians chapter 3 and verses 23 through 29. And the background of this is to really understand faith. And of course, the three passages that I always use when discussing faith is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, and Romans 10, 17. And there we have, for without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And then in Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, there of 2 Corinthians, to get that out right, instead of 1 Corinthians, don't want to confuse you. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so we don't know what the future holds. It has the idea of trust. And so a Christian walks with the trust of God, not knowing what the future holds, but trusting that with God all things are possible, trusting that whatever happens in this life, we know that God is going to look out for those who are walking by that faith and trusting in Him. And then, of course, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by what? The Word of God. And so it's something that we must do. We must study, not only in our personal life, our study habit, but listening to sermons, listening to Bible classes, to surround our minds and our thoughts constantly in the Word of God. And so as we lead into that, it's awesome here as we think about the passage that was read just a moment ago is one of my favorites. Because there in Romans chapter 10, we find out that the Jewish people had a zeal, and that is a requirement for Christians. We're to have a zeal for God. But the problem was, is as Paul discusses there, is he reminds us that, yeah, they have a zeal for God. They seem to want to do what's right, but they just don't have the knowledge. They're not willing to accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They're not willing to come to the truth under the new covenant and under the new law. And so even though they have that zeal, they didn't take that zeal and, like Paul, kind of switch it and start serving Christ. And he was just hoping, if you go back to actually chapter 9, you could see that he actually discusses He actually discusses if he wanted to become accursed, if he could just get some of the Jewish people, some of his own brethren, his countrymen, to obey the gospel, would be a sweet thing for him, for them to realize that they no longer can be justified by the old law, but by the new law. And so tonight under that, I want us to see the contrast here that Paul makes, or the relationship maybe of his discussion of the law and the new system, the Christian age, the faith system that we're a part of, and how he ties that all together in the salvation in Christ. And so consider, if you will, to read with me there, beginning in verse 23, as Paul says this, "But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are one, are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And so certainly many have come to this, and specifically there in verse 26, and really just point out the first phrase there of this particular passage and say, isn't it simple right here if you just read this right here? For you are all sons of God through faith. It couldn't get any more plain and clear, could it? That he's talking about faith justifying you. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to obey anything else. You don't have to repent. You don't have to confess. You just have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But that's not what Paul's saying at all. In fact, that's a distortion if we understand the concept of the term faith. And as we've discussed time and time again, laying foundations about faith, that certainly we see points in the Bible where our own faith is discussed, our personal faith that Jesus is the Son of God. But you'll notice in this particular passage, from verse 23 down to verse 29, the word faith is used five times. It's an important word throughout this. But Paul's not using it in the typical sense of my personal faith or your personal faith. He's wanting us to understand that he's talking about it in that nice fancy word that I found in figurative language called a synecdoche. And that just means where a part represents the whole. And so he's using the term faith to represent everything under the new system that represents salvation. Everything that we must do, this is a representation of that. And so before faith came, Paul's saying, remember when we were Jews? I mean, consider for us, all of us tonight, we know that Moses was given the old law and that they were able to bear that for 1,500 years. And you know, you hear me a lot, I yell at the Jews right along for their disobedience and them not understanding, them not coming to the truth. And we hear the fact that they hardened their hearts, and certainly all these things are the case. But you know what we don't need to forget? We don't need to be forgetful, but we need to be thankful for the Jewish people. We need to be thankful that they were willing to take everything that God had told them to bring it about so that you and I could enjoy the salvation in Christ. And I didn't read the particular passage there in Romans chapter 9 as I have marked here, if I can find it in this particular Bible. But Romans chapter 9, I just want to read this, and this gives us the impression that Paul here is talking about to remind us that although the old law is done away with, and you and I know that, we understand and appreciate the fact that the Jews were the people that were selected to bring about all these wonderful blessings that we have, according to Ephesians 1 verse 3, the spiritual blessings that we now have in Jesus Christ. And so he says this in this particular chapter of Romans, I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternal blessed God. Amen. And so he's trying to remind us that although these things have ceased and they disobeyed God for the most part, except for a remnant, we understand and should appreciate the fact that they were able to be entrusted and bear all these things for 1,500 years to bring all this about, to be a part of God's plan. And how wonderful it is that we see God's salvation come through that particular plan. And so we should never be forgetful as we think about that. And that's exactly what Paul discusses if you look back here. But before faith came, but before the Christian salvation system that comes under the Christian age came, Paul, was a part of this. And so we were kept under that, and we were guarded. We were protected until Jesus Christ would be born from the seed of woman, as we read a few verses earlier in Galatians chapter 3. But then this is also something to consider as we think about this, is that Jesus came to what? To fulfill the law. He didn't come to just simply destroy it, but he fulfilled it. And that's found over in Matthew chapter 5. In verse 17 and 18, and really in verse 18, he said that the law wouldn't pass away until every jot and tittle, almost like I would think about it in terms of the Greek, the Alpha and the Omega, every part of the Greek alphabet, until every single thing is fulfilled, until you dot your I's and cross your T's, this is not going to be fulfilled. And of course, we understand as we study the life of Christ and his perfection, he fulfilled it by living that perfect life under the law, and was able to nail it to that cross. And we see that, of course, in Colossians 2 and verse 14. He was able to do all that to serve its purpose. And so it's interesting here that Paul uses that to remind us of the blessing of salvation in Christ. Remember how this used to be? Now look at the fact now that these things have changed. And of course, we need to understand something else, don't we? We need to understand that he's trying to also talk to Judaizing teachers, and so that's one of his points. I need to talk to these false teachers, these brethren who continue to bring up the old law. I got to correct them because they're not going to get to heaven if they sever themselves from Christ by going back to following these old precepts that are no longer in existence. And then drop down to another point as we look and consider, and just consider to think about the salvation in Christ that he's continuing to kind of build upon here. Verse 24, "Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by the faith," or the system, the new plan in Jesus that's going to save us. And so it's interesting here that Paul uses that unique term tutor, and I believe it's the King James that has the word schoolmaster, and that's actually a pretty good translation of the original thought. In fact, the idea of a schoolmaster was really one who would guard the child, so to speak, and take them to be delivered to the school and make sure that they got there without any damage, without any problems happening. But really, in our sense today, we might think it as more as a school bus. You know, you put your kids on the school bus, and you expect that school bus to what? To protect your child, to keep them safe, and to deliver them to the house of the schoolhouse. And so, quite literally, what he's saying is the old law was the school bus, but for the Jewish people, and it was taking them to school. That specifically being Christ. And so, here's that magic school bus taking them to Christ. It was pointing them the way. And they certainly didn't all get on that bus to get there. But that's exactly what he's saying here. And he wants the Galatians to understand and be reminded of this so that they don't go back again to the old law. Now, some focus points here that I want to look at. As we look at verse 26 and 27, there's a lot here to discuss, brethren. But what was I saying? Let me just read the passage. That'll get my mind back. Verse 26. "We are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And so he then begins this comparison, this purpose, after talking about the old part that they were following and talking about the tutor. He wants us to focus on this particular thing. Now, it's interesting here. This is the point I want to talk about tonight. You think about being a child of God. Have you ever just really thought about how much of a blessing that truly is? Just to be called a child of God. You know, we think about the blood of Jesus forgiving us of our sins. We think about the fact that we've had salvation. We have the grace of God. But the very fact that we are God's children is certainly one of those blessings that we have received. And it's interesting here because he's playing on words here. He's talking about, unlike those who would point to this verse, and I've seen it on television programs that will point to this verse and say, see, all you got to do is believe, and then here's the sinner's prayer, and they introduce that concept. But here's something interesting. He says, if you want to be a child of God, listen, for you are all sons of God. Right now, you are sons of God, but why are you sons of God? This is a present tense in the Greek. Right now, you're standing as a child of God, but you're not just staying as a child of God, but there's something that you had to do. And notice here at the end of this phrase, it doesn't say that you are sons of God through faith what? Only. You're not sons of God through faith alone. You're not sons of God without Christ. But no, he says you're sons of God through faith in Christ. And we've discussed this also as well, being the location, being that movement from when you obey the gospel to the sphere of being in Jesus. And this is the only way in which we can be saved from God. And so how are we a child of God? We're in Jesus Christ. That is where the salvation is found. But that's not it. Notice the next verse. 4. Here's the reason. How did you become a child of God? How did you get into Christ? If I was asking that question here and wanting to believe what the Bible says, and I was wondering, okay, now, yeah, it says here, Paul tells me that, yeah, I want to be a child of God. I want to inherit these blessings. It says I have to be in Christ. But how do I do that, Paul? The next verse, he tells us exactly how the Galatians did that. And it's a past tense showing that they had already done this. And that's why they stood in this new sphere of being a child of God. For as many of you as were baptized, that past action, into Christ. Those who were immersed into water, that's when you actually entered into Christ. You know what's interesting as we think about the salvation plan, we can number it how we want, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And I've heard some even add Second Corinthians 7:10 with godly sorrow. So putting that in there as a showing as a step that you have to have godly sorrow before you can repent. You have to actually be sorry, and certainly that's included. But nonetheless, faith alone is not putting you into Christ. There's no Bible passage that tells us faith is putting us into Christ or that we get put into that relationship. Repentance isn't putting us into Christ. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that about any step, but it does say that about what? Baptism. It's that final step. And so to paint the picture, if we were thinking about coming and arriving here to this building, I mean, we all got in our cars. I don't think anyone here walked tonight. More power to you if you did, but I drove, and we got in our cars, right, and we pulled in. Were we in the building yet? If we were sitting outside in our cars, we weren't in the building yet, were we? And even as we were walking and taking steps, those steps were leading us, but we still were not in this building. But when that door came open and we placed our first step in the building, our relationship changed. We were no longer outside the building. Where were we? Inside of it, right? Duh, Jesse. We were inside the building. And so that's what Paul is saying here. As we look at the synecdoche here, that yeah, you have to do all these things to be saved, but until you take that last step, you're not actually placed into this new relationship with God. And so here he says it right here, into Christ. That preposition is so awesome. You're still out there, and this is the only way to get in. This is the only way to be a child of God and put on Christ. Now, that's a blessing that we've all received who've obeyed the gospel, isn't it? But he takes it a step further. He not only talks about the salvation that we have in Christ under the new system, under the Christian age, under the new law, the faith system that we're justified by Jesus, but verse 28 says this, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." It doesn't matter about your past, does it? You could have been a slave during this time in the Roman Empire. That didn't matter if you became a Christian. You know, you think about Onesimus being told, Philemon, the slave, to go back and serve your slave master, only he was told as a slave master to not treat a slave poorly since they're brothers in Christ, to treat them well. And so there was guards there put in by God's Word to protect the slave-master relationship, of course. But in Jesus, he's wanting us to realize that none of these barriers matter. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female, your status in society. None of that matters when you've put on Christ in baptism. But then he says this in verse 29. And if you are Christ, how do you belong to Christ? You've been baptized and now you're a child of God. Then you are Abraham's seed and you have that promise of being an heir. And that's the conclusion they were supposed to draw. But the opposite is also true. You're a child of God through what? You're a child of God through faith. You're a child of God in Christ Jesus. You're a child of God because you put on Christ in baptism. You're a child of God that doesn't matter whether you're a Jew. But if you have the opposite, if you haven't been baptized, then you're not a child of God. And you can run down the list there and see then that there is this comparison of the individual who's obeyed the gospel and the one who has not. And clearly as you look at this passage, this whole passage is really Paul trying to illustrate and discuss with us about the relationship of the old law and the relationship of the gospel system and how that all came about and how that we can truly understand and know that we are children of God if we simply understand the whole big picture of the whole Bible. If we begin to understand the blessings that come through Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but it's always difficult for me when we sing the song to count your blessings. Can we really do that if you really begin to think about it? And maybe not even aware of the things that are going on because God works providentially of God doing things for us as a blessing that we might not be aware of that's helping us in some way that we don't know. And so there's so many things going on that God is doing for us as His children that's why we have to trust in Him. That's why we got to walk by that faith. That's why we got to remember passages like this that remind you and I as Christians that the most important thing in this life is to remember where we came from, and that is we became that new creature. We became that child of God, and we chose to do that. And now it's up to us to continue to serve Him for the remainder of our lives. And that's what Paul wanted them to understand. That's what Paul wanted the Judaizing teachers to understand. He wanted them to come to that realization that I can do away with this old law, and I can begin to serve Christ. And no doubt, as you read the passage we read in Romans chapter 10 there, I love that. about that zeal and the relationship and the heart that we see Paul have toward his own countrymen. And you and I should have that as well as we look to the world, as we look and reflect upon ourselves, as we look into that law of liberty and to see if we truly are living as Christ would have us to live. I'm going to offer up the invitation this evening for that great, wonderful plan of salvation that God has given us in the Bible. If we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if we're willing to repent of our sins through godly sorrow and confess the name of Jesus and be baptized for the remission of sins, certainly the blood of Jesus will take care of our sins if we're willing to do everything that God has said with our hearts. And as Christians, we need to always be reminded of that great faith that we're a part of today and to continue to study it and believe it and obey it as always. And certainly we will have that home in heaven one day. And isn't that where you want to be? I want to be in heaven forever. And that's always the nice thought, especially when you're sick and you want something good going on, to think about eternity and living with God forever. I mean, nothing can beat that, right? And so let's continue to think about those things and talk about those things to one another as we continue to grow in Christ. If there's any need this evening, please come to the front as we stand and praise God together.
For Jesus and be always here and good.
Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burdens, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His heart can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Would you have Him make you free and follow at His call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have Him save you so that you need never fall? Let Him have His way with thee. His heart can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. Was there for Him to have His way with thee? Would you in His kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove Him true, His providential test? Would you in His service labor all at your best? Let Him have His way with thee. His heart can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you can fill your soul. And